Matthew chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Excuse me. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. Once again, as we read this familiar story, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true, faithful, that we can depend upon it. And we know that these events actually took place many years ago, yes, but still true and faithful. And we thank you that we can learn from your word. And we pray that you'll help us to apply the principles that we find in this passage of Scripture to our own lives, that we might be more faithful to you in our daily life, and be committed like these men that we read about here in the Scriptures. May we be committed. May we have the wisdom and understanding that you desire for us to have, that we might know how to serve you better, to bear witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray this morning, our Father, that you'll be with those who are in need, particularly. I prayed for Mark Metz and his new bride. We pray your blessings upon them. We pray, our Father, for Denise, as she'll be having her baby tomorrow. We pray that everything will go well for them. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for Kathy Moyer, who's in the hospital again and taking chemo. We pray for her and ask you to undertake for her today. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for others that are suffering in one way or another, that you might have mercy upon them. And we pray that you would guide us and help us in all that we do. We do pray, our Father, for our missionaries today. We thank you for the work that they do in various places. We think of Rob Zapatosky and his work with the Slavic Missionary Services as he travels to different places and helps in the various parts of the work as the director. We pray that you will give him much wisdom and understanding in carrying out the work and being able to reach many more Slavic people. We pray that the Lord Jesus would be glorified in all that he undertakes. And we pray that you'd bless all of our missionaries. We thank you for each one and for the privilege that we have of helping them in their work. And we pray that you will use each one of us for your glory and for your name's sake. We think also, too, of Genesis Pregnancy Care Center. And we do pray for them as we have the baby blessing tree in the back. We pray that we'll be able to gather together some things that will be helpful to them. We thank you for what has been given already and pray that we'll be able to finish that up in a good way. May your will be done, Lord. We ask you to bless now your word and speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, the baby blessing tree is back there. I didn't think to mention it before, but we're going to keep it there until Sanctity of Life Day, which I believe is the 20th of January. So if you'd like to bring something in to help with that, I'm sure they would appreciate it. All right, coming back to our scripture, I was thinking about this, the visit of the wise men, of course. You say, well, Christmas is over. Well, the wise men did not come to the manger when Jesus was born, did he? No, they came later. So here we are. We'll finish up this year thinking about them. I was thinking I'd put a title on this, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Just as we saw the poor shepherds come to the manger to worship Christ, so a little later we find these wealthy wise men that came to worship him also. It doesn't matter what our status in life may be, you know, Jesus came for everyone. He came to be the King of the Jews, but he also came to open the door of salvation to the Gentiles. I'm so thankful for that. God sent special messengers from heaven to proclaim the coming of his Son into the world. He also placed a special star in the sky at just the right time to show a certain group of wise men that the King of the Jews had been born. Although most of our Christmas cards and pageants show the wise men coming to the manger to worship the infant Jesus, we find that the scriptures tell us a different story. They came much later and were able still to worship him. And that reminds me of something. You know, we think about Jesus and his birth. It's always a wonderful time of celebrating. But we also need to realize that he did not remain a baby, did he? He grew. He became a young child and then a young man. And then he went to the cross and died for us and arose again. And we can worship him in all the different aspects of his life. We just started our new Sunday school series this morning on Consider Christ, who he is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's still there, and we still worship him. And so let's look here in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll see how this story unfolds. It says when, or in some versions it says after. It's during that period of time when Jesus was born. And so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. You remember, this is Herod the Great, very wicked, ungodly king who was ruling over Judea at this time. It says there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Who were the wise men? Well, we're not quite sure, but they're called the Magi. These were highly educated men that studied the stars and came from Babylon or from Persia. That's the area from, it says they came from the east. And they dedicated themselves to this studying of the stars, astrology, and that kind of thing. They were not kings. Nowhere does the scripture say that they're kings, but they were important in the governing because they gave advice to the kings. They would study the stars and then they would come up with different theories and so forth and advise the king as to what he should do in various matters of state. And they came from, as I said, from Babylon or Persia or somewhere in that area. And it was a long trip. They had to dedicate a lot of time to this. This wasn't a casual stroll in the park, you know. We don't know how long it took them, but it must have taken several months for them to travel either by camel or some way like that. They didn't have the means of transportation, of course, that we have today. You know, supersonic jets, you can get there in a big hurry, right? But they didn't have any of that. And so it took months for them to do it. So this was something that they were determined to see and to worship the new king of Israel. The question is, how did they know about him? These were Gentiles. That they were not Jewish people. They did not have the scriptures for themselves. But apparently, they must have had access to the Hebrew scriptures somehow. Otherwise, how would they have known that there was going to be a special king born? It says in verse 2 that we have seen his star in the east. So how did they know about his star? There had to be some way that they would get this information. And perhaps it was from reading the Jewish scriptures. In Numbers 24, one of the prophets there, Balaam, said, I shall see him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob or Israel, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So there you have the star And a scepter speaks of a king, right? So perhaps they had access to this kind of scripture. We're told that there were tens of thousands of Jews that lived in Babylon during the exile, which was from the time Babylon came in and took over Jerusalem and Judea. From 605 to 536 B.C., the Jewish people were there in Babylon. And among them, of course, was Daniel, the prophet. You remember him and his three friends. But Daniel interpreted dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar. And dreams seemed to be very important to people back in those days. They got messages somehow. And we read here in this passage that God actually used dreams to let them know what they needed to do. Anyway, we find Daniel interpreted dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar. And for that, he was appointed leader of the wise men of Babylon. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2 for a minute. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48, I believe it is. I should have used my bookmark, shouldn't I? There we go. Daniel chapter 2 and 48. Well, let's read verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So here we have the wise men of Babylon, and Daniel is the leader over all of them. He's in charge of this group of people. And no doubt, he taught them about the coming king that would rule and reign over Israel. No doubt he did. And it tells us later on in chapter 7, he speaks there of the Messiah. So the Savior, the one that's coming, the anointed one of God. And so no doubt this is one way they could have learned from Daniel and from others that studied under him down through the years about the coming of the king. And so they made this journey to Jerusalem, expecting to find him there. Now, they see they had a partial knowledge, but they didn't know all of the facts, and so they expected to find the king in the capital city, right? Normal place. You'd go to the palace to find the birth of this new king. So that's what they did. It says here, they came from the east to Jerusalem, looking for the newborn king. Then we see the king that was there, of course, Herod, this wicked king. Herod the Great was a great builder. He did a lot of good for Judea, for Israel, in building things. He helped build the temple. Started it, at least. It was finished after his death. But he was a man that was troubled and upset about many things. And here, when he heard that there was supposed to be a new king in town, he got upset. He got troubled because he was the king. He didn't want anyone to come against him or take his place. So he was upset, and the whole city, it says, was in an uproar, because they knew what kind of man Herod was. He was cruel and paranoid, you know. Always afraid that someone was going to take his place. He's one who would not stop at nothing to maintain his power. You know? What do they say? I heard it on Jeopardy the other night. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Right? And that's what Herod was. He was a corrupt person who wanted to have his power. And he even killed members of his own family, his wife and some of his sons, in order to keep them from taking his place. So this is the kind of man you're dealing with here. And verse 4, it says, they gathered together all the scribes and the chief priests, and he demanded them where Christ should be born. So you see, he gets the message. Herod knew about the coming of the Messiah. The word Christ here is the same as Messiah, the anointed one of God, the King, who is coming eventually. So he realizes that this is what they're talking about. Fulfillment of Scripture. That Christ is coming. But instead of rejoicing and bowing before him, he tries to kill him. You know? And here we find that he consults with all of the scholars and says, where is the Christ to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. Because in Micah chapter 5, it speaks of that Bethlehem is the place of the birth of the Son of David, of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So they know now where he's to be born. And so Herod consults with the wise men, and he says, hey, by the way, when did the star appear? When did you first see this star, you know, that told you that the Christ was born? And we don't know what they said exactly, but we find out later that he killed all the children from 2 years old and under. So he probably allowed a few months, you know. But it could have been, Jesus could have been a year old, or even, you know, something of that nature. At this time, so time had gone by. But he pretended that he desired to go and worship the newborn king. So he told him, you go and find him, and when you found him, come back and tell me that I may go and worship him also. See? Pretending that he had a desire to know Christ when he did not. And so we find that they go on their way. And later on, as we read this morning, when he finds out that they did not come back to him with this message and went home another way, that he was enraged and went and sent his soldiers out to kill all of the infants 2 years old and under. And one place I read, I think it said it was the male children that were killed. We don't know how many there were, but it was enough to cause great havoc and despair among the people in that area. So anyway, we find the wise men set out on their way to Bethlehem, which was just a few miles away, 6 miles, I think, from Jerusalem. And as they started out on their journey, what did they see? They saw the star. The same star that they had seen back in Persia or Babylon, where they came from. The star reappeared. When does that happen, you know? What kind of star was this? I know when I was talking with this, Troy was interested in this a while back, and he was talking about, you know, he read some various things about it. Some people said it's a planet. The planets came together a certain way, and there was a supernova and all this kind of thing. But here we find the star disappeared for a while, and then it comes back. It doesn't sound like anything that we normally see, right? I believe that this was something that God planned especially for the birth of his son. It says it's his star. His star. And so they see this star that comes back again. It reappears and it guides them this time. It goes before them and it stops right over the place where Jesus was. Now that's something that's a little unusual. You don't usually see that happening with stars. And so we see that God is guiding them directly to the place where his son is. And notice it says that they came and they went into the house. So they're in a different place now. They're not in the manger, but they're there in a house, living there for a while. We don't know how long. And the wise men, of course, were overjoyed when they saw this star to lead them, and they knew that their quest was almost over. They're on their way to finish out what they had started. And so they come, and then they give these worthy gifts. They bow down first and worship him, fall down on their faces before him. Notice that. It says here that they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Someone pointed out that every time you find that expression, Jesus is always mentioned first. And so it says the young child and his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They worshiped him because he is the one who is God. He is the only one, only God in human flesh. And they bowed down before him and worshiped him. And then they gave him these famous gifts, these rich gifts that they brought to him. I have a quotation here from David Jeremiah that I thought was good on this. It says, "While we do not know how many magi there were, we do know that the three gifts they gave to Jesus were especially appropriate because of their symbolism. One was a gift of gold, fit for a king. Gold, pure, valuable, and nearly indestructible, is indeed a royal metal. And in the ancient world, it was even more rare than it is today. Frankincense was used as an offering of thanksgiving and praise to God in the temple worship. The final gift was myrrh, a gift for the Savior. The term comes from the Hebrew term mar, which means bitter. Myrrh was used to prepare dead bodies for burial. The corpse was wrapped in layers of cloth and spices were placed between the layers to cover the odor of decay. This final gift foreshadowed the suffering Jesus would endure on the cross in fulfillment of his role as Savior." You might say, well, that's a strange gift to take to a small child, isn't it? And yet, this was a foreshadowing of who he was and what he would go through. So we find gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts that the wise men brought. And after that, we find a warning from God. In verse 12, it says, "Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So, we find that the warning to the wise men was not to go back to King Herod because he had evil intentions. So they took seriously the message that God gave to them in this dream, and they returned home another way. You can imagine, just think of these men. Do you think they were the same as they were before they came? How could they be, you know? Coming into contact with the Lord Jesus and who he is, and all of the wonderful way in which God had led them through the desert and all the way to Israel, and how God had led them each step of the way. No doubt they were completely changed, transformed. It's like when we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Before you know Him, you're one person, and when you come to Him, you're completely made new, aren't you? It's an experience that you never forget. And also, we find here this warning to Joseph. Joseph now is the head of the family, and the angel appears to him in a dream. The same, perhaps the same angel. It says the angel of the Lord, and that was the expression that was used before, came to Joseph, appeared to him in a dream, and told him, hey, there's danger. Leave immediately for Egypt. Joseph got up in the middle of the night, got the baby, the child, I should say, and Mary, and took off to Egypt to be safe. He cared for his family and took them there until the death of Herod, this man who wanted to destroy them. And then he got another message from God saying, Herod's dead, you can return now to Israel. Right? So we see the communication line was open here. The Lord's constantly in contact with Joseph, leading him in all of the things that he needs to do in caring for the Son of God. So they returned to Israel, but instead of going to Bethlehem, they went to Nazareth, where they felt it was safer. And then it also fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. It said, he shall be called a Nazarene. Well, this passage of scripture, certainly there's an element of mystery in all of this, thinking of these men, who were they and where did they come from, and all of the details and things that happened. But what a beautiful story it is. There are a number of questions that remain unanswered. But we do see that the wise men acted on the knowledge that they had. And they followed the light that God gave to them. By faith, they committed themselves to go and to find the Christ and to worship Him with the very best gifts that they had to offer. They listened to the voice of God rather than to the voice of the wicked king, and returned home filled with joy and satisfaction. Mission accomplished. So we would do well, I think, to follow their example, thinking of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, and how He's always there with us. Every moment we have access to Him. He's praying for us, it says, at the right hand of the Father on high. And we can have contact with Him continually. So, praise the Lord for His goodness to us. I wanted to...